Good morning. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord. If you have a Bible with you, we're going to be in Proverbs 4. That'd be a surprise. Proverbs 4 today. And Lynn kind of alluded to it. We're going to be talking about two paths. You know, we get to choose which path we're on. And so as you're turning there, kids can head to kids' church if they'd like. But I'd like to pray for Brad this morning, Brad Rhodes. Got a message from Susan this morning that he was bleeding inside, and so they rushed him to Boise, and so they're trying to deal with an internal bleed. I think the blood thinners were too high, and so he was bleeding internally, but I just want to lift him up to the Lord this morning and just pray that God would heal Brad and that God would give them a peace this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll pray over the word. Lord, we just are so thankful for how you watch over the minor details and the major details, the big and the small. And so thank you so much for watching over Brad's life and that they were able to catch this internal bleeding. And we just pray that you would stop it, Lord, and just heal whatever's going on inside. Use the doctors or just your divine healing. However, Lord, we just lift them up to you and pray that you would get all the glory and praise. And just that you would be there right now with them in a tangible way that they could feel and know your presence. God, I just pray for peace and comfort for them, and just that he'd heal up and get back to good health. Lord, there's so many different ones in our body going through major and minor health difficulties, and so God, just for each one and all the different things that we're going through, Lord, we just pray that you'd meet each one of us where we need you, because we know that you are the one that we look to, the one that we lean on, the one that is our strength. And so we pray that we could find strength in you for whatever we face today. Lord, I pray for our time in your word, that your word would come alive, and as we talk about different paths that we can choose to walk on, that you would guide us along the right path, that you would provide for us along that path, and that you would use us as we walk that path to bring others to the path, that you would bring good fruit into our lives as we put you first and we honor you. And just pray for your spirit to speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so yeah, let's look at Proverbs 4 this morning. And so, yeah, you probably know, and maybe you've experienced, I've experienced this a lot, going down the wrong path, right? And so it seems like, you know, hiking or just going hunting, I've been driving in so many different mountain roads, and this has happened over and over. It's like, it looks so great on Google Maps, you know, oh, this is a nice little shortcut. It looks like a beautiful road. And have you ever been that, like, where you're driving, and you know, I've done this the couple times I'm thinking of, we're in our Pilot, you know, it was our old four-wheel drive. It could get through just about anything. And so you're like, okay, I can handle this. Oh, whoa. And so you get a little bit further down the road. You know what I'm talking about. And it's like, I don't know if this is the best path to be on. It looked great on Google Maps, but it's not looking so good. And so I've done that, and I'm like, okay, let's just make it around this next turn, and we'll see if it opens up. And get it around the next turn, and it's even worse. And there's that moment where, like, maybe I should turn back. But I'll go a little further, and it's getting a little bit deeper potholes. It's like, man, this is really using the four-wheel drive. And I've done this where I'm like, oh, let's go a little bit further. Maybe around the next corner, it'll get better. And time again, it just seems like it gets worse and worse. And every time I'm like, okay, finally, I just need to turn around. You know, because it's tough to decide to turn around because it could just open up. But it's a long ways back, and I have to go through all that again. And you know, like when you get to that spot, like you're facing that moment, like I'm getting in pretty deep. And if I don't do something, if I don't go back, I could pop a tire. I could, like, we don't have cell phone signal. We don't have anything. Like I could get myself in really, really bad trouble. Fortunately, I've never gotten completely stuck, completely in bad trouble, but I've gotten pretty deep and pretty bad shape. And you know, like, it's not just driving down a physical road. Like, we've done that in life. You've done that where, like, you're going the wrong way and you're like, I could turn around or maybe it will get better. And the further you dig in, the further you go down that path, the worse it gets. And sometimes, man, by God's grace, we don't face all the consequences of going down that wrong path. But we know the further we go down, the further it's going to take to get out of and the more consequences. And so today, as we just talked about those two paths, I want you to just, man, I just plead with you, would you just walk the path of righteousness, the path of wisdom, the good path. And man, is it going to be good in the end? It might be harder in the short term, but God always knows better than Google Maps, right? God knows every single nook and cranny. He knows everything down that path, and His way is always better. You know, just yesterday I was mowing the yard, and, you know, I backed up and didn't watch where I was going, and I backed up straight into our rose bushes and got these cuts and gashes down my leg. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens. And I just thought about this, you know, when you're not watching where you're going, and we've done that in life, right? Not watching where we're going, not careful, and we just end up in rose bushes, right? Or maybe you've done this. Man, it seems like every turn you take in Nampa is under construction, right? Where you're like humming along, you're just going, and then all of a sudden you didn't look, you didn't know, you didn't hear about the road closure, and then you're just stuck, right? You're just stuck in traffic. And so we know like what it means to walk the wrong path. And this morning, Solomon's gonna lay out just these two paths for us to walk. And, you know, he's been just pleading with us, like, walk the good path, walk the good path. Like, follow wisdom. There's so much benefit. There's so much goodness. It's so worth it. And so this chapter, he's just going to overtly compare it to two paths. And this morning, I just want to plead with you, like, it's important which path you're on, because it's going to affect so much of your life, and there's going to be so much either good consequences or there's going to be negative consequences to deal with as we walk these paths. And so as we get into it, you know, in 10 through 19, he's going to really lay out those paths for us. But before that, I thought it was really interesting. Before we get into the paths of wisdom, he's going to get to the passing on of wisdom. And I love this because I was thinking about it, you know, like, how did I get on the path of wisdom? Like, I'm trying to walk the path of wisdom, but the thing for me, it was passed on to me. Like directions to that path. And just think about like so much of the good like hiking trails that I found in Idaho, like I didn't find them. I didn't stumble. Somebody told me. Like someone said, hey, you need to go check this place out. And so I'll look about how to get there. I'll ask directions. Like someone told me. And the same thing is true for all of us, just about like you didn't just stumble upon the right path, right? Like somebody passed it on to you. Like, it was hopefully maybe your parents or someone who acted like a parent. And so I love it in the first nine verses, he just really lays out this, like, generational passing on of wisdom. And so I want you to think, like, how did you get on the path? Like, somebody shared it. And, like, who can you tell about the path? Like, hey, this is the right path to walk. Would you get on that right path? So let's just read 1 through 9, and then we'll dig in a little bit to it. It says, hear, O sons, so it's like this broad general call. He's been saying, O son, but now it's just really a general call. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. So I love these words. And Solomon's telling, you know, us, you know, plural sons. But he's like, guess what I got from my father? And I love this. You know, Solomon's father, David. David had a lot of wisdom to share. And I love it because these words that David shared with Solomon, man, it's a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about, right? Like reiterating this stuff. And I love this because, like, Solomon didn't just wake up one day and get wise, right? We know that there's an awesome time where God comes to him in a dream and says, hey, ask for anything. And he wisely answers, okay, give me wisdom, the wisdom to govern and lead. And God gives him supernatural wisdom. But that wasn't the beginning of wisdom for Solomon. Like what God gave him supernaturally had already been passed on. And he looks back and he's like, hey guys, I got this, but guess where I got it? I got it from my mom and my dad. Like, they were there and they shared with me. You know, he talks about being in the presence of his mother and his father passing on these words. Like, he got it because it was passed on to him. In fact, we see, like, throughout the book of Solomon, or the book of Proverbs, like, hear, O sons, right? A father's instruction, this general, generational passing on of wisdom. In fact, chapter 1 started with, right, remember Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 both open with what? My son. Chapter 3, my son. Like, he's stressing this generational passing on of wisdom. And just like we're not going to spend much time on this, but just a challenge, really a charge to us as parents. Like, I'm charging myself, like, man, am I passing on wisdom? Like, this is one of God's main vehicles in passing on wisdom, is from father to son, mother to son, father to daughter, mother to daughter. Like, are we passing it on? Are we saying, like, hey, this is how you get on the path? This is where you should walk. Kids, what are you doing with the wisdom passed on to you? Are you taking hold of that? And you might be thinking, oh man, my parents haven't been sharing much wisdom with me. They don't really have much to say. Well, maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But remember, what did he say right there? He said, verse 6, get wisdom, get insight. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Whatever you get insight. Like, you have a role. If you're not getting it from your parents, and I'm sure they're giving it to you and you're just not listening. But even so, like, it's not like, I'm helpless. I can't get any wisdom. My parents aren't giving it to me. No, like, what did he say in chapter 2? He's like, if you want it, go digging. Like, get out there and find it. Dig for it like you would dig for a treasure. You have a responsibility. And so if your parents aren't giving it to you, like, go get it from somewhere. And obviously the primary source is through God's word. But if you don't have godly parents, like, go get it somewhere. Like, you need it. And I love Proverbs 13:20. We've talked about this a couple times. Like, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. The companion of fools will suffer harm. And I love this. You know, a lot of times we talk about, like, keeping our kids away from the wrong influences, and that's very important. He talks about that. Like, the companion of fools will suffer harm. But we forget the good impact that peer pressure can have, right? Like, he's saying there, like, if you hang out with really godly, wise people, there's a chance that that's going to be passed on as well. And so whichever side you're on, whether you're in the need of wisdom, then go get it. Go get it. Like, I love that. Like, what's the beginning? Get it. Like, go get some wisdom. And so maybe you can find it somewhere. Get into God's word. Find a Bible study. Find someone who you know is wise. And us as parents, like, let's pass it on. Like, Solomon's passing this on to his children because he got it from his mother. He got it from his father. And all these wise words, like, he's heard it before, right? Those words that David spoke to him are the words he's been speaking to us. So I have it on your homework. We won't spend time in it this morning, but I love Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it just lays on this, like, generational passing on of God's truth. And I just wanted, like, if you're wondering, like, how do I do it? Like, how do I pass this on to my kids? Read through that this week. It gives us a great kind of blueprint. And the first thing I see there is, like, you seek it yourself. Like, you're not going to pass on to your kids what you're not already seeking yourself. And in the first verses, like, he says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules the Lord your God commanded me to teach you that you may do them, right? Like, do them. Like, what's the best thing that your kids are going to see? That you're doing what you're telling them, right? And so seek God's wisdom, live out God's wisdom, like, do them. He says it's so important that you would be doing them in the land to which you're going to possess it, that you may fear the Lord. That's what we've been talking about, right? And you and your sons and your son's son by keeping all his statutes. And so, like, if you're like, man, I don't know how to pass it on to my kids. Well, the first thing is, like, walk in wisdom. Like, you need to have a Bible study. You need to get into the word if you want your kids to have wisdom. And then second, like we see in there, is just pass it on. And the passing on, I love it. Later on in the passage, he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. All these precepts. You shall talk of them. So it's verbal. And don't expect it just to be seen, right? Sometimes we're like, well, my kids know what I believe. Have you ever told them what you believe? Well, they see what I'm doing. That's awesome. You need to be doing that. But you have opportunities to actually use your mouth. So it has to be verbal, but then it has to be example as well, right? He's like, talk about it when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. But then it needs to be seen, right? You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. It shall be as frontlets between your eyes, writing them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And I don't think it's just like, hey, go get a tattoo with it on your forehead, okay? No, it's like, see it in your life. Like, that is be like at home in your house. Like, just not that you write it and put it up on your wall, but like it would really be at home. Like, it's everywhere, right? And so we have so many opportunities through the day. And I know that I don't take advantage of it like I should. Like, just a simple car ride to Walmart is an opportunity to just have a conversation. And don't force it. Say like, hey, what's going on? It's an opportunity. Just pray for the Spirit to give you a chance. And so this generational passing on of wisdom is like how to get on the path. This is how you get on the path. It's passed on. And so are you passing it on? Are you passing on the instructions how to get on the path of wisdom? And so I love it as we get into verse 10. He says, hear my sons, accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. And so he uses two words there. The first one, it says, I've taught you the way of wisdom. That word in the Hebrew is derech, and it talks about like a road or a path. It's actually, in one, it talks about a highway. You're thinking like, man, were there really that many highways? There were some pretty established roads, and there's several times it's called a highway. Like, it's a well-established road is what this is talking about. And so it says, I've taught you the road, the path, the highway of wisdom, and then I've led you down the paths. And so that word, it's interesting. It talks more about like a well-worn path where you can see the tracks. And so it's used even to talk about wagon tracks, you know, like where wagon tracks, they like leave this imprint in the soil, right? And they're like, I've led you down. I've shown you the way. These are the tracks that you should follow. And so whether it's a well-worn road or just the tracks along the path, you know where you're going. So he lays out this idea, like there's this path of wisdom. And I notice it says it's not just the path of wisdom. He's talked a lot about wisdom, but he says, I've taught you the way of wisdom, the paths of uprightness. And so as we talk about this path and road that we're walking on, like it's the path of wisdom, but it's also the path of uprightness, like the right path, the thing that you like you should do, the goodness of following after God. This is the godly path. And I love it. It says, when you walk, your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. And like that's really like the benefit of a road, right? You know, have you ever tried clearing a path through like deep brush? It's not very fun, right? Like I've done that. Like I've been walking along the path, like, oh, I want to go over there. There's a lot of stuff. Like it won't be that hard. And I'm starting to get in there, and then like the branches are digging into my skin, and then there's mud, and like you get in there and it's tough. You can't run, you can't walk, it's not easy. But when there's a path, like, isn't that just the way of wisdom? Like, it makes life work well. You can be at ease. And I love how he describes it. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. And then he says, keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. He's like showing us this path. He's like, make every effort. Like, it is so important that you take hold of this path. And never stray from it. So like right as soon as he gives us this life-giving path, then he says, okay, wait, there's another path, okay? And we know what this path like is the path of foolishness. But he calls it here the path of wickedness. It's like the evil, wrong path. It's really like the path of our own way, like God's way or my way. Wisdom, folly, goodness, wickedness, right? And I think it's so important because it's a well-worn path too, right? There's a lot of footprints along it. It looks really good. It's inviting. It's well-worn. We want to walk it. And what does he say? Man, verse 15 or 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Okay, do you see a theme? Like, is he trying to say something to us? Like, how many times in that verse, those two verses right there, did it say, don't go down that path? And as I look at that section there, it's like, don't get on it. And then he describes, like, those who really are those who walk it. It says, for they cannot sleep until they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they've made someone stumble. They eat the bread of the wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And then he goes back and he says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over which they stumble. And what a picture, because I love that, because like the light of dawn, it gets brighter and brighter the further it gets up, right, in the sun in the sky. And that's wisdom, right? The further we walk down it, the more it lights our path and just the life that dawn gives, right? And it's the opposite of darkness, right? Like, you don't want to walk a path in the middle of the night, right? You don't want to walk that path. And so he really lays out like these two paths to walk. And I was just thinking about like just this idea of a path, like walking a path. And I thought of a couple things, and maybe you can think of some things as well. But the first thing I know about a path is, like, you don't just stumble on it. You make a choice, right? And you see with both of those paths, there's a conscious decision, right? This path is a decision made, right? And so look at verse 13. It says, like, keep hold, do not let go, guard her. Like, this is intentional, right? You don't just stumble onto the right path and be like, oh, wow, how did I get here? Like, you're intentionally walking that path. And the same thing with the path of the wicked. Like, he's really obvious. Like, don't go on it. Don't go on it. Don't go on it. Like, he makes sure we know. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Verse 15, make sure we know that it is an active decision not to go on that path. And what I've noticed, and maybe you've noticed this in life, is have you ever, like, had autopilot? Like, where, like, you like, just, like, think for a second, like, whoa, how did I get here? And like, man, I brushed my teeth. I didn't even think about it. I took a shower. I ate breakfast. And then, like, I was just on autopilot. And so much of our lives, like, we're just going through, and we don't really think about it. We're just doing these things, these habits, and we just end up on autopilot in a place that autopilot brought us. What I've noticed in my life, if I'm not intentional making this active choice to walk the right path, autopilot seems to take me to the wrong path. Like, just if I'm going through the motion, I'm not actively thinking I need to walk the right path. Autopilot takes me down the wrong path, and I wake up and I'm like, man, how did I get here? Well, you've been making these choices and you didn't really think about them, but you ended up on that wrong path because you weren't thinking. And so he makes it really important that for we know that this is intentional. Like, keep hold. Do not let go. Guard her. You're making this choice. I'm going to walk this path, and I'm not going to let go of the right path. So the second thing I notice about paths is they're progressive, right? You don't just get to the destination, right? You walk every single step of that. If you've walked a long trail, like 13, 14 miles, you know every single step of that trail was a progressive step. It can be both good and bad, right? Every step we take the wrong way takes us further and further into sin and its consequences. But what we need to do is make a decision today, what step am I going to take in the right direction? Like, you're not going to end up the wisest person here overnight. But I want to challenge you, like, what active decision are you going to say? Like, this is a progression down a path. And what decision am I going to take to walk one step further in wisdom? You know, we've been talking a lot about wisdom over the last few weeks, just this far into the book. And like, there's so much good stuff to know. And sometimes, like, I can just, like, take it in and be like, man, that's so great. That's awesome. And then not do anything with it, right? And that's like just knowing about the path, but not taking a step. And so let me just ask you, like, what steps have you taken since we've started walking through Proverbs down the path of wisdom? Like what we talked about, intentional, active, really progressive steps. Like what steps have you taken? And I love James. James in the New Testament, we've been going through it in youth group, and he just hits us with these like, duh, kind of things, right? And these like obvious things, like these applicational things, like, of course, just do it. And I love how James 1:22-25 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently on his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he's like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Like you're going to be blessed in your doing. Like when you walk this path, there is going to be blessings. We talked about that last week, right? Over and over we talked about like the blessing of walking. It doesn't mean it's easy, but you're not blessed if you just hear it, right? You're not here just showing up and listen to a sermon on Sunday. That's not going to change what you do during the week. Like, what steps are you taking during the week down the path of wisdom, the path of the upright? Like, what are you doing intentionally? Like, I want to become more wise, and so I am going to, and then you fill in the blank. Like, are you progressing? Are you taking a step? What step can you take today? And then finally, walking a path is a journey, right? We know that. And the journey isn't always just about the destination, right? But it's so much better when it's with a person, right? Like I love hiking, but I don't like doing it by myself. Maybe you're the exception to that, but I like doing it with somebody. I like doing it with my family, with my friends. Like me and Heidi just walking a trail, and it's not about the destination. It's like, man, look at that bird. Man, look at that tree there. Look at those mountains. Look at that river. Like it's this journey with a person. And we've been talking about that, like walking this path. You need to make sure that the primary reason you want wisdom is because you want God. Like you want more of God and not just more of like him, but more of his will and his way in your life. And so as you walk this path, remember it's a journey with a person. So don't like just think, I just want it to get information so I can make a decision. Like think, this is walking a path. This is taking a journey with a person that's going to make me grow closer to him as I walk with him. So how are you doing at walking the path? How are you doing this week, this past week, this past month? And maybe you're thinking like, man, I've rocked this. I'm ready to go to the next book. I've got Proverbs down. Maybe you're like, oh, I'm kind of, this week I've been tempted between the two. I've taken a couple steps down the right path and I've taken a couple down the wrong path. Or maybe you're like, man, I'm not walking down the wrong path, but man, that's almost all I can think about. I see everyone else walking and I don't know how to not walk down the wrong path. I love how he ends this chapter because he gives us some real practical things. And like as we finish this chapter, it's really like, how do I stay on the right path? How do I keep going down the path? How do I make sure I don't get off this path? How do I make sure I don't walk that path of foolishness, of wickedness, because I know what happens. And I don't want to be that group that you're talking about in those verses, you know, the ones that are hungry for it day and night. Like I've seen what ends and I don't want to walk that path. So as we look at these last verses, 20 through 27, just like what can we do to make sure we walk the right path and avoid the wrong path? So let's read through them. It says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So a lot of verses, a lot of good insights. But what I noticed about these is, like we'll see in the middle, like it's all centered on the heart, right? Like that's kind of the center of it. And first, he's going to talk about like what comes into our heart. You got to be careful what comes in. And then you got to be careful to guard what takes root in your heart. And then you really need to watch and evaluate what comes out of your heart. Okay, so let's walk down that. And first, like, what is the heart, okay? It just kind of like, it's interesting that they use in the Old Testament the same picture that we have. It's the organ muscle that pumps blood, right? Okay, so they thought about that, but they thought about, like, it's really your inner soul, okay, your inner person. And they talk about, like, you think with this, and so it's like the decisions you make, the thoughts you make, but it's even bigger than that. And really, a lot of it centers around your emotions. So it's like the center of your emotions, but not just the center of your emotions, but like it's bigger. It's like your will, what drives you. And I think that really gets to the heart of it. It's like what really drives you at the end of the day. Because really from your heart flows out. That's what he says right in the middle. I love that verse where he says, keep your heart, verse 23, with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. If we think about it, like what's in our heart really is going to flow out into our lives. And I love the picture he gives us, because if you look at a river, you're like, where did that river come from? You follow it back to its source, and somewhere there's the head of it, right? And so with every spring, it flows out into all these other things. And what we're going to find in life is what I let take root in my heart is really going to flow out to which path I'm going to take. If you walk, and these people that were walking the path of wickedness, they didn't just arrive there one day. They let something into their heart, they let it take root, and it grew and grew, and they became the people that let evil into their heart. And so first, I love how he starts out, like, really guard and be careful what you let into your heart. Like, what comes in? And I kind of think about it like this, okay? So your heart's at the center, and there's this big fortress wall, a moat, maybe some alligators, you know, something protecting it, right? And so he's like, hey, you need to open the gates and let down the drawbridge for something good, okay? So look at verse 20. It says, my son, be attentive to my words. What it means is, like, really pay attention, incline, listen to these things. Like, that's what we need to open the gate to our heart too. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. And I love he gives us different pictures, and they're all external of how things come inside. Like, most things come in through our ears and through our eyes, right? So he says, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my saying. I thought about that word incline. It means, like, to turn in a direction and pay attention to. And I don't know if you've ever grown these, or maybe you've just seen these, but a while back we grew sunflowers, and they're so beautiful. Like, a whole field of sunflowers is amazing, but it's crazy. Like, they're huge little heads, and throughout the day they turn towards the sun. Like, it's amazing. Like, and you've seen that with different flowers, different plants. Like, you put a plant in the windowsill, and it goes towards the light, right? It turns towards the light. Or even kind of ironically, like solar panels, like some of the really fancy ones, like, they'll angle themselves throughout the day to get the maximum sunlight. They incline, they turn to where they need to be facing. And so, like, the idea there is, like, you need to let in good stuff, right? Wisdom in. And so I see, like, we need to be so careful what we're letting in. Like, what do you need to open the gate to? Like, good, godly wisdom. And we can't affect every single thing that we see or hear. Like, you're going to walk through your day, and you're going to wish you didn't see something. You're going to wish you didn't hear something. But what you can do is do your best not to feed or point your eyes and ears into the direction of something that you shouldn't. Right? What did he tell us back on that path? Remember earlier in the chapter, if you look at verse 14 and 15, he's like, don't enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Like, he's like, how much should we lower the gate, lower the drawbridge and open the gate to evil? Right? Like, none, zero. And so I want you to think, like, you can't affect everything coming in. But are you soaking in and inclining, turning your ear, opening your eyes to good things? And are you turning away from bad things? Like, what you let in is going to shape and take root in your heart. Kind of thought about it like this. There's a movie coming out this summer, The Odyssey, which, you know, it's not just a movie. It's a book from a long, long time ago, Homer's Odyssey. And they're turning it into a movie. And I'm like, I don't know how you turn this thing into a movie because it's like this grand epic story. But Christopher Nolan's making this movie this summer called The Odyssey. And I remember, and it'll be interesting how they do it in the movie, but remember the Trojan horse, right? That happens in The Odyssey. And it's just got a reference in there, but it's a great picture, I think, because like there's this city of Troy and it has these impenetrable walls. Nothing can get through, right? And I kind of think like that's what we need to have our hearts to evil, right? Like if we're going to not walk the path of evil, like don't let a single bit of evil into you that you don't have to. And how do they finally get into the city and open it up and take the city? Well, they put this Trojan horse, right? We know it. Like this picture of this gift that they leave, and they leave, but inside of it is the soldiers who once inside at night come out of the horse, open the gates, and then all the evil comes in, right? Like how did they take that city? They let a little bit of evil in, and that evil opened the gates. Like how do you keep evil from taking over your heart? You don't let it in. And I think so many times unwittingly, or we don't think about it, we aren't conscious about it, but we let evil in and we don't expect it to do anything, right? Like if you're in that city of Troy and you saw all these soldiers walking out, you're like, huh, that's interesting. What are you gonna do about it? And I think that's so important. Like once you recognize, man, I shouldn't have let them in, am I gonna kill these evil thoughts? Or I'm going to say, hey, how's it going? And let them continue to take root. And that's where he goes next is like, once it's in, what are you going to let take root in your heart? And I love this focus on the heart. First, he said in verse 21, he says, let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. So talking about these good things, like keep them means like let them take root. Let them feed them. Give them water. Let them grow. But then he says, next he says, for their life to those who find them, healing to all their flesh. And he warns us, keep your heart. And that word, keep your heart, means like guard it, protect it, because it is the most important thing. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance. Why? For from it, right? What takes root in my heart is going to come out. From it comes all these springs of life. Like, are you guarding your heart? Are you watching it? Like, are you really actively, like, what am I thinking about? What's in my heart? What am I dreaming about? And I kind of think about this, like, those who daydream all day about the path of the wicked, what's going to happen in a couple months? Like, you don't just stop daydreaming about it. Like, you eventually, like, man, I'll take a couple steps down that path. And what are the things that you've been dreaming about? Like, what gets you up in the morning? What are those things that really have your heart? And are they good? Are those things that you've been giving your heart over to, have they been drawing you closer to God? Or have they been drawing you away from God? Like whatever you let in your heart and really don't guard against is going to take over and it's going to feed out into what comes out. Look at Luke 6:45. It says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Man, if you don't want to walk the path of the wicked, don't dream about it. Like all those things of the wicked, don't daydream about those. Don't long for those things. When you find yourself longing, kill that thought. So man, that didn't honor God. I need to replace it with something that's going to honor him, that's going to feed my soul. Don't let those things take root. In Mark 7, 20 through 23, Jesus says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For what from within, out of the heart of a man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from within, and they defile a person. I think that's so important. Like, what comes out, like, a murderer didn't just murder. They had been really dwelling on murderous thoughts, and letting those thoughts take root. You know, you didn't just wake up one day and commit adultery. You didn't just wake up one day and steal. It's these evil thoughts that were in your heart. And so, man, it's such a warning. It's so powerful. And in fact, like, would you memorize that this week? Like, my heart is so important. I need to keep it with all vigilance. For from it flows the springs of life. What am I letting take root in my heart? One way to tell what's in your heart, he talks about it next, is like what's coming out of your mouth. Like what's coming out of your mouth is a very good indicator of what's already taken root in your heart. So he talks about the heart, verse 25, and then what does he say? Put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk far from you. And so maybe evaluate your speech. Like what's coming out of you? Right? All those different things Jesus talked about were the external things, the things that started in the heart. Well, how have you been talking? You know, I was convicted about that this week, and the things that I was saying came from a heart that wasn't right before God. I was like, God, I am so sorry, but what caught me wasn't me looking at my heart. It was really me hearing myself speak. So, like, honestly, if you did an evaluation of what was coming out of your mouth this week, what does it say about your heart? Because those words and how you said those words came from somewhere, right? They came from within. And those are one of the best indicators of like, man, wow, I need to go back a few steps. Because the goal isn't just for me not to say things, right? Or not to say them the wrong way. Like it's for me an opening saying, man, I need to look back two steps here. Right? What happened two steps before I said that word is I wasn't guarding my heart. And what happened two steps before that? I let something bad into my heart. And so if you notice yourself like, these are the things, I'm walking this path and I don't want to be there, don't just say, I'm going to try not to take another step. Well, that's good. That's really important not to step any further. But go back and say, what in my heart led to me taking those two steps down the wrong path? And even before that, what did I let in? And what can I guard and what can I put a wall up against that I don't have to put that in? And when was it exactly that I saw it and noticed it, but I said, oh, that's okay. Because the last thing I see, and we'll end with this, is like we are so good at making excuses for compromise. A lot of times we're like, okay, it's okay to take a couple steps down the path of wickedness. It's okay to, you know, maybe walk it for a day, but like don't walk it for 2 days. Like, we're so good at deceiving ourselves. Isn't that what James said? And what I see in the last verse is like, how much compromise should we have to the path that we walk? Zero. Like, how much should we let in evil that we don't have to? Zero. Like, we need to be, like, no compromise. Look at it. It says, verse 25, let your eyes look directly forward, right? I love that. Like, he's like, directly forward. Let your gaze be straight before you. So this week, like, have you been compromising? Have you been like, it's okay to look, turn like 3 degrees at the path of evil? You know, the Artemis 2 mission just came back, and like, it's an amazing accomplishment, and even more to think about, like, they did this a long time ago. But I was reading about it, and like, sometimes you think like 1 degree off isn't a big deal, right? Like, okay, he says, like, keep straight. If I'm just 1 degree off from straight, that's okay. Like if that mission, like if their trajectory had been 1 degree off, they would have missed by 4,200 miles. Like 4,200 miles, like not just feet, like miles, like gone. Like 1 degree. And so like he really emphasizes like, make sure you're straight on the path. And so this week, this past month, have you been like 1 degree off? Because what I've noticed with me, and you've probably noticed with yourself, is 1 degree doesn't stay 1 degree. It turns into 2 degrees. And those people that he described, what happens is by degree, right? It's a drift. The book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard. Like that idea I get from that is like, let's stay on course, right? No compromise. He says, lest we drift away from it. Like drifting doesn't happen all at once, right? You didn't wake up at the end of that path and be like, man, how did I get there? It was a few decisions that led to a few more decisions. One degree at a time, you drifted. It's like, if you want to stay on the right path, you're afraid, I don't want to get on that path. Are you drifting? Like, are you drifting? Just a couple degrees drifting. Don't drift. He says, stay on target, right? And then the next verse, he says, ponder the path of your feet. What I get from that is, like, don't just, like, walk it, but think about it. Like, be active, like, intentional. Like, be thinking, like, as you're walking, like, how can I walk in wisdom today? Walk in that path with intention. It says that all your feet, all your ways be sure. And then again, just that emphasis, do not swerve to the right or to the left. And then maybe this is you, like, turn your foot away from evil. Like, you don't turn away from evil if your foot's already in that direction. And so I just want to end with this, like, if you want to be on the right path, you don't want to get on the wrong path. Like, how many degrees are you turned towards the wrong path? And maybe today you're, like, walking down at full steam. And you're maybe graciously not receiving the consequences you could have. Like, today, let this be the biggest warning you could ever get. Just what he said earlier, it was like, get off this path. Don't go another step. Do whatever you can to get off it. Because eventually, you're going to face some consequences that you never wanted to. Sin always takes us, that saying, further than we want to go, keeps us longer than when we want to stay, and makes us pay more than we want, right? Sin's going to cost you if you keep walking that path. So turn your foot away. And maybe you've just been kind of, like, not really thinking, like, right? You've been kind of, I don't know what, like, what intentional steps can you take today? What intentional steps can you take this week down the path of wisdom? Because it's so important which path we walk. Let's pray. Lord, as you lay out these two paths, we know life is a lot of two steps in the right direction and two steps in the wrong. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, who indwells each of us as believers, would convict us. Maybe we've been walking up the wrong path and we haven't even given it much thought, and we're only a few steps down. Would you convict us today to get off that path? Lord, if there's anybody that's way, way down the road, Lord, please, by your grace, would you convict them today? Bring good, godly people in them to help them walk down and turn around and turn towards you. God, for us who are trying to walk and it's hard to walk the path of the upright, would you give us encouragement? Would you give us strength? Would you hold our hand, as Psalm 73 said, as we walk and follow you? And as we do so, would you bless us? God, would you grow us? Would you use us to pass it on to others? God, I just pray that your hand would be strong in our lives as we walk close to you. Pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.